going to go to begin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I'm waiting until everybody gets there. At least I can hear pages turning in here. Last week when nobody was here and we did it all virtually, you couldn't tell when people were done turning pages because you can't hear anything. So, okay. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. And that's what we're going to look at. God has called us in with this great hope. We have an incredible hope. It's not just a one-time deal, the hope. The hope is now and forward. Because we have the Spirit of God in us, we live now into eternity and through eternity. It's a big deal. And God has set up certain traditions or instructions that the Thessalonians were given, and also they are for us. They apply to us. And we are to stand fast and hold fast these traditions. And holding fast, in the Working Translation it says hold fast. King James just says hold. But it means when we hold those instructions, it means we're powerful or we're the masters of them, or we let them rule us, those instructions. So we're going to take a look at those instructions. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. And chapter 4, as we're all aware of, is a great explanation and description of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes to gather his saints. Part of our great hope is the return of Christ. And God lays it all out. And then in chapter 5, that section of Thessalonians shows us our walk of believing as children of light while we anticipate the return of Christ. Chapter 4 shows us how to behave, how to walk in the light of God's word regarding the hope that we have within us and the hope of Christ's return, the big picture. In chapter 5, it's full of imperatives. An imperative is a verb that's made into a command. It's a commandment. It's what we're supposed to do, something to obey. It's imperative, you know, like it's imperative that you drink water. Well, it's imperative we do these things. And we're going to take a look to it. We're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 5. And I just want to read through the chapter first with you, okay? But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith, and have for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We're going to be with him all the time. Wow. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss, and I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I charge you, in verse 27 is, I ask you to swear an oath that you read these things. I guess it's very important. And it says whether it was written or spoken word or written in the epistle, it's very, very important to God that this be read to the saints. And back in verse 6, I want to point out where it talks about sleeping. You know, if we're sleeping, we're not walking these imperatives that we're going to look at. We're not taking the instruction that God has given us to walk in light of the hope. So it behooves us to pay attention to them and to operate them in our lives, to obey them. Okay. So we're going to start in verse 13. Here's one. Be at peace among yourselves. Right? Be at peace among yourselves. Our God-given peace is incredible. It's so big. It enhances unity in the body when we walk with peace, when we walk with the peace of God. And we have to remember that we have life into and through eternity. Talk about being able to be peaceful when you look at all the world and what goes on and all the stuff and the things that come up. Yet we can be at peace among ourselves. Let's look at Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. Be at peace among yourselves and be thankful. God wants us to keep that peace ruling in our hearts. And it says in Philippians 4:7 that it's the more excellent way than every way of thinking. Right? The peace that passes all understanding. God's peace is so big, and we're to walk in it together in light of the hope. Always, all of this is in light of the hope of Christ's return and the eternal hope that we have within us now, that Holy Spirit. Okay. Next, we're going to look at warn them that are unruly. And that's verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. The word warn is the Greek word nuthateo, and it literally means to place in the mind. Whenever we have to warn each other for being unruly, it takes a really deliberate and loving communication. It's deliberate and loving. We don't just stumble across it. Oh, this is something that we do with each other. The unruly that we see here means to break rank. In a military term, somebody that breaks rank. Now, if we're walking along in the body of Christ in light of the hope, and I do something and I'm breaking rank, let's say maybe I get into idolatry, or maybe I cause somebody to stumble, or maybe I get involved with legalism, you know, where I get real judgy on everybody, then your responsibility in light of the hope is to warn me. You're supposed to very deliberately and lovingly explain to me, put it in my mind, put that thought in there of what God's will is. The reason we do that is because we know, even if you use the military example, when somebody cuts and runs out of rank, it puts others at risk. So when we are unruly, it puts the rest of the body at risk, and we don't want to do that. We want to be at peace among ourselves, and we want to warn each other when things are coming up so that we can walk correctly. Now, the exact opposite of this unruly is in Galatians 6. Verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation should be. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Walk, as many as walk, that's to walk in rank correctly. And that's what we need to do. The peace of God will be upon us as we walk in that. it means to advance in an orderly conduct. So life with God is not haphazard. It is orderly, and that's how we're to walk. And when one of us doesn't, we're to warn each other. Next, we're going to look at comfort the feeble-minded. Okay? Warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Oh, let me back to Thessalonians. There we go. Okay, so the feeble-minded are the faint-hearted or the discouraged. Literally means little thinking, somebody with little thinking. We are to comfort those people. And we can be reminded of the great comfort that we have when we're doing this. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. You know, sometimes if somebody has a great sense of grieving or whatever, we think about the comfort of God, but the comfort of God applies all the time to us. It's not just in grief. Verse 3, blessed be God, chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's like an airtight package right there. He's the God of all comfort. He comforts us. We can comfort others by the comfort wherewith He comforts us. You can't get around it. His comfort is certainly His will for our lives. And we're to do that in light of the hope, walking in the hope with each other. We comfort the feeble-minded. Great way to comfort people is to speak His truth. You know, He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from all their from their destructions, right? So that's Psalm 107. We can do that. Next is support the weak. Back to Thessalonians. Support the weak. And we hold the infirm. We hold them up. That's what that means, support the weak. We hold the infirm, somebody who's not well, in whatever capacity an individual is not well. Gosh, we all need support. And that's what we do with each other. I'm reminded of Galatians chapter 6. Let's go there. And this is just an overview. I mean, you could spend hours and hours on each one of these things, but this is an overview and an exhortation to all of us to continue to walk in these things and to stay mindful of them, because they are the specific words of God regarding our walk. Galatians 6, verse 15. No, that's not right. 6, 1, sorry. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fall, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. We help each other out. We hold each other up. We support the infirm. And infirmity comes upon all of us at times. You know, it's not specific to certain people. Next. Be patient among all men. Be patient among all men. And to be patient means to bear long. You just put up with stuff. We bear it long. Even if someone hurts us, even if someone's unkind, we're to bear long in light of the hope and the light of the greatness of God and the eternal reality we have within us. We bear long. And I want to remind you of that verse that we read in 2 Corinthians. I'll just go there. You don't have to go there. Chapter 1, where we saw that God is the God of all comfort. It also says that He is the Father of mercies. He is the Father of mercies. And we know that His mercy is unfathomable for us. And we are, as it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, to be imitators of God as dear children. And we can imitate His mercy. We can imitate His long-suffering. We can imitate His comfort. We can follow in that. We are the children of the Father of mercies. Therefore, we represent Him with each other. So these three kind of group together. Not a big thing, but if you think about it, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men. These three are especially loving in the body. Maybe they're the ones that, for some of us, take more effort, you know. But so what? It doesn't really matter. God says to do it. They are imperatives. We can become more and more aware of the needs of each other within the body of Christ. And we can become more and more compassionate in helping each other regarding those needs. And that's walking in hope, because this is a lively hope that we have within us. And you have it, I have it, we all have it. Therefore, we do these things for each other. Verse 15, First Thessalonians says, "See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good." Okay. Rendering evil for evil is not permitted in our walks, period. It's not permitted. God does not allow it. Therefore, we should not do it. Even, you know, just think about it. Somebody cuts you off. Don't render evil for evil. Boom. Okay, don't render evil for evil. Romans 12 and 13 demonstrate love without hypocrisy. We're all familiar with those chapters, what it is to really love with the love of God. And we know that love with hypocrisy lends itself to evil. So we can't be nice to one group and not so nice to another group. We love without hypocrisy. And I want to look at Romans 12, verse 9, and we'll read a couple of verses there, please. So this is under, "See that none render evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good." So in chapter 12, verse 9, and we can get a whole picture here of what love without hypocrisy is. "Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is the evil, and cleave to that which is the good. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another," or take the lead in honoring one another. "Not slothful in business." What kind of business? God's business. Not slothful in God's business. "Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." We do the things of God. "Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer," or giving persistent attention to prayer, "distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not." Here we go. "Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep." "Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits." And here we go. "Recompense or render to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men." So here in Romans, which is a great description of love, we're seeing all these things that we're reading in Thessalonians for walking in hope. And the rendering evil for evil is not permitted. That's really important for us to remember. And in Luke 6, chapter 6, verse 28, Jesus Christ said to pray for your enemies, you know, those that despitefully use you, pray for your enemies. So, I don't know, when the guy cuts you off, maybe we ought to say a couple of prayers for him. What do you think? Next in Thessalonians. Next is rejoice evermore. This is not based on emotion, we know that, or what goes on in a day. It is based on the eternal realities we have in us and that are above us. That's what it's based on, our rejoicing. It's not a happiness thing. We rejoice evermore. This is based on our eternal lives with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. How can we not rejoice? We are in the body of Christ. Well, it's something to keep in mind because God wants us to do these things. Philippians 4:4, you don't have to go there, you all know it. "Rejoice in the Lord always," and again I say, rejoice, right? Verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Needs always arise, amen? I mean, there are always needs. And we have full and complete access to the Father of lights. We can go boldly to his throne. He's a very present help. He is the God that is called the Ancient of Days. He knows everything, and we are to pray without ceasing to him. Philippians 4:6. John, can you quote it? Be anxious.
For nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God.
Right. Be anxious for nothing, right? And careful for nothing, but in everything, we pray. Colossians 4:2. Let's look at that one. See, if you have your mics muted, I can't call on you to quote a scripture. Colossians 4:2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer. The continue is to be steadfastly attentive to it, or persistent in prayer. Is that prosukamai word? And we are supposed to watch with thanksgiving. This kind of runs into the next imperative that we're going to look at. But we're to watch with thanksgiving, and that means we give strict attention to thanksgiving too. So we are to pray without ceasing. I wanted to read a verse to you out of Isaiah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. He is ever present. We heard in manifestations. He cares for his own. So we pray without ceasing. Okay. In everything, give thanks. So, not for everything, we all know that, but in everything. How can we do that? Well, first of all, it's his will for us, so we do it. That's one. Next, we truly do stand in awe of his incredible power and ability, and therefore we can be thankful. And we need to remind ourselves of this, murmur it to ourselves, mumble it to ourselves. But if we really think about God's goodness toward us, then our automatic response is thankfulness. There's nothing else really is appropriate. And I want to read Psalm 40, please. If I can find it. Psalm 40. Not the whole psalm, just a verse. Verse 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us word. They cannot be reckoned up in order to thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Now, how could we not have thankfulness toward a God that great to us? Oh. Next one in Thessalonians. Well, two of them go together. I'm going to look at them together. Quench not the spirit, verse 19 and verse 20. Quench not the spirit and despise not prophesying. When we consider the manifestations of Holy Spirit, they are profitable all the way around. God provided this in this body of Christ so that his will could get done, he could get glorified. We could see the incredible power of the accomplishments of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we would be able to have what we need personally in order to communicate with God and him to communicate with us. Also to help heal people, deliver people, and move his word, just to name a couple of things. So therefore, we don't quench the spirit. We don't extinguish it. We have that spirit within us. And, you know, I was thinking about it. When God gave us spirit, he just didn't give us a little bit of spirit. Like, okay, well, this will get you by. This is a powerful thing. And we don't extinguish it. Boy, we really cherish that thing. And despise not prophesying. Why would we ever want to do that? God puts forth his word for us. We hold on to it. Okay? In Hebrews, a little reminder in Hebrews for our hearts. And this truth is so humbling. Chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought you again from the dead. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Why would we ever want to despise that or quench it? It is God that works within us to will and to do of his good pleasure, it says in Philippians 2:13. our response would be to fan the flame, so to speak, not quench it. Verse 21 in Thessalonians. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Two of them together. We prove all things, like we saw in Romans 12, 2. You don't have to go there. I'll read it to you real quick. Romans 12, 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good. That prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we prove that. We hold fast to what is good. What is good? God's word, the hope. Hebrews 10, you can look there if you want. Hebrews 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our body was washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. That's what we hold fast, professing our faith, God's word, his word. For he is faithful that promised. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Okay, back to Thessalonians. And the next one is abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay, verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says that we were bought with a price. And what a precious payment that was. And for God, that payment was good enough. It satisfied the justice of God. Therefore, because we were bought with that incredible price of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we refrain ourselves from any appearance of evil. We hold ourselves back. This is very important. Let's go to 1 Peter. 3. And I'd like to say that for all of us, these truths of how to walk in the light of God's word regarding the hope that's in us and the hope of the return of Christ, apply, those truths apply in any situation, not just in a fellowship meeting or, you know, they apply with our husbands and our wives and they apply with our children and they apply all the way around. It's an all the time thing. 1 Peter, where am I? Chapter 3 and verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and he let his lips that they speak no guile or deceit. Let him eschew, avoid, incline away, lead out of the way, eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. We eschew evil. We abstain from all appearance of evil. Now, back to Thessalonians, verse 23. Changes from the imperative mood to the optative mood, which merely means like it's a wishful mood. In other words, this is God's desire for us. This is what he wants for us when we read this verse. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. This is not unlike 1 John 3:3, I'll read it to you. It says, and every man that has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. When we walk in the light of the word regarding the hope and these directives God has given us, it purifies us. And that's God's desire, that we remain blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see why further down that Paul charged that this epistle be read to everybody, that these traditions, this instruction be read. It's very important. Together, well, the Thessalonian church was a model church. Together they turned from idolatry to the living and true God. And the imperatives in chapter 5 were and are necessary to follow for us in order to live in hope. The commands are designed to promote harmony in the body and unity in the body. And they're meant to show us how to walk. Hope is our eternal reality. Here on out, since we got born again, that's our reality, hope. Hebrews 10, 22 and 23, I want to read the working translation to you. It says, let us approach with a true heart in an absolute certainty of believing, having hearts sprinkled from a consciousness of evil and having the body bathed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession, what is to be confessed of the hope, without wavering, for who has promised is faithful. So, here we are. Be at peace among yourselves, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men, see that none render evil for evil, but ever follow that which is good to all, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, and abstain from all appearance of evil. And again, 1 Thessalonians 5:23, God's heart and desire for us, his optimistic mood for us. This is from the Working Translation. It says, may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your entire spirit and soul and body be blamelessly preserved at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. So, that's what I wanted to share.